Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I said from the beginning to the end that we'd take up the Attorney General nominee just as soon as we finished trafficking.
That's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell speaking to reporters about delaying a vote on the nomination of Loretta Lynch to be Attorney General, a delay that has reached some moderately historic proportions. Finished trafficking, Majority Leader McConnell says, which is a bit of a term of art, referring to a bill to fight human trafficking in the U.S., even as the human trafficking crisis in the Middle East continues to hold the world's attention. No, it is unlikely that we are in any sense finished with human trafficking, but this cliffhanger is over for the human trafficking bill in the Senate and for the nomination of Loretta Lynch as Attorney General. The compromise on the trafficking bill, which was all about an abortion provision, came Tuesday afternoon. With me now for more from the Capitol is Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Hi, Todd.
Hi, John.
So Lynch will be confirmed. We do know that. I didn't really mention that, but we think she's going to be confirmed, right?
Looks like she will, especially under the nuclear option rules instituted by Harry Reid when he was majority leader. She faces a cloture vote tomorrow, but remember, she's not a Supreme Court nominee, so 50 votes, not 60. She's likely to get through.
And explain the compromise and how it finally came to a head or to a sort of a quiet end here.
Oh, yes. Well, this goes back more than 4 weeks. And you got to cast your mind back to when the human trafficking bill got on the floor just over a month ago. It was headed for easy victory because pretty much everybody supports it. It has lots of provisions to increase law enforcement, to set up compensation funds for victims. Everybody was on board. It was going to be a bipartisan win. Until some groups in Washington, some pro-abortion groups, pro-choice groups, noticed that there was a provision in that bill, a small provision tucked in there that made reference to another bill that expanded the Hyde Amendment. And if you don't remember what the Hyde Amendment does, it's been in the law for more than 30 years. The Hyde Amendment says no federal funds can be used to pay for an abortion. What does that mean here? That means here that any victim of human trafficking or sex trafficking who qualifies under this bill, who got pregnant, couldn't use her compensation fund money to pay for an abortion. That was a big problem for Democrats because the compensation fund money that's set up in this bill doesn't come from taxpayers. It comes from fines, a $5,000 fine that's brand new under the bill. And that's what lit up this whole controversy. It's relatively narrow in terms of policy, John, but as we've said, abortion politics in Washington is like the West Bank in Israel. You don't move the line a centimeter or it's a war. And that's what happened. So finally, after Mitch McConnell, as you heard at the top, tied the Loretta Lynch nomination to this bill, what that meant was senators weren't going to let the human trafficking bill die because a lot of them want a new attorney general. Republicans want Eric Holder out of there. Democrats love Loretta Lynch, and they want her confirmed. So everybody was motivated. And here's the compromise they finally reached. That compensation fund is now split into two parts. The part that comes from fines on perpetrators says you can't spend any of the money on any health care at all, abortions or anything else. The other part of the compensation money that you can spend on health care that comes from taxpayers, that's already subject to the Hyde Amendment that's already in the law, which means in the end, no federal money at all for abortions. The compensation fund still stands. The wording is jumbled around. And if you look at it the right way, I suppose everybody wins, although that's questionable, too, since this took a month.
And the logic of denying people health care money if they're victims of sex slavery, I don't know. There's a logic there that I don't see. We can explore that in a minute with somebody who looks at this much more closely. But this is an example where bipartisanship, the fact that everyone was motivated and the Loretta Lynch nomination really work to get this bill tweaked in ways that may come back to haunt us. Listen to the sort of hurry up, let's go of Dick Durbin talking about this bill.
It's time to move Loretta Lynch. We need to do it before we go home this week. We owe it to this country. We owe it to Loretta Lynch. And we owe it to the Senate to get back on track in approving qualified nominees.
Is the hurry up mentality here something that caused the legislation in the end to be modified, tweaked? There were capitulations that we're going to hear about later.
it's hard to call it hurry up, John, because it took more than a month.
Right.
And so did it finally push people to make an agreement rather than just drop the bill and move on to something else? Probably. And therein you see some of the artistry of Mitch McConnell's leadership there, tying these two things together. Did it frustrate a lot of people that Loretta Lynch's nomination had to wait until a deal on human trafficking? Sure, it did. It frustrated Eric Holder too, because he's still in the job and he wants to get out of it. The White House didn't really seem to be all that concerned about it. They weren't lobbying Capitol Hill hard to get a deal here, but it did bring people to the table and said, you can't drop this bill because the majority leader won't let you. Now, Loretta Lynch has spent longer on the executive calendar, sort of the wait list for a vote, longer than the previous six or seven attorney generals combined. It was a long time. President Obama named her some 165 days ago, so it was a long wait for her, and looks like she's finally going to get her vote tomorrow, John.
Well, the Lynch issue is important, and also the administration has made human trafficking a real signature issue, but we'll see what the legacy is going to be. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much, as always.
You got it, John.
This compromise we just spoke about with Todd, where so much of the debate was about the Hyde Amendment abortion test, may not be the only compromise in this bill intended to combat the growing problem of human trafficking, an atrocity made much more globally visible by the migrant deaths in the Mediterranean Sea this year. Human trafficking, where desperate populations end up essentially in conditions of slavery, in many cases, sex slavery. These victims were to have been the main focus of this legislation, but are they? Joining us is Kate D'Adamo, a national policy advocate for the Sex Workers Project of the Urban Justice Center. Kate, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
So are the victims really the focus in this act as you look closely?
You know, I would say not. And it's one thing to talk about as a compromise, but really this bill, from its inception, has moved the focus away from the needs of actual victims of trafficking and really to the needs of law enforcement, and prioritizes them, in my opinion. You know, even when we talk about things like the Domestic Victims Fund, which is established in the bill, it really does support the expansion of law enforcement. And when you look at the other mechanisms in the bill, it's about expanding the powers of law enforcement and expanding the crimes that they're looking into, which don't have anything to do with forced fraud or coercion.
So let me just split the hair here a little bit. When you say it advantages law enforcement, a person who's not familiar with the details in this bill might say, well, of course, we want police fighting this kind of crime. You're saying the expansion for law enforcement doesn't have anything specifically to do with human trafficking in this bill?
I'm saying that taking a purely law enforcement and criminal justice approach to trafficking is really the wrong approach, and especially if we're going to talk about justice for victims of trafficking. What we need to be doing is expanding the direly needed resources for marginalized communities, for those vulnerable to trafficking, for those in trafficking situations, and for those escaping trafficking situations, and this bill does not prioritize that.
What do you think the designate for Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, is going to think about this bill ultimately, because she's at the center of the whole legislative battle over it?
Sure. You know, the Attorney General has a mandate that is very specific, and I think it's an important one. You know, I think it's important to talk about victim services and, you know, the organizations who work with victims of trafficking. We work with law enforcement all the time, and working in partnership and in successful collaboration is absolutely a central part of a lot of our work. And confirming the Attorney General is, I think, a step in the right direction for that. But, you know, are we talking about how to better prosecute traffickers, or are we talking about serving the needs of victims and ultimately trying to stem trafficking? Because that's not what's centered in the bill, and that's not where the conversation is. And I think prioritizing this as a way to combat trafficking is really about decentering the conversation onto, you know, what happens after the trauma has already taken place, as opposed to how do we prevent this crime? How do we stop this crime? How do we stop the expansion of this crime? And this bill is an unsuccessful way to do that.
Does anyone deal with preventive measures at this point? Are there any programs that exist already for high-risk populations?
Absolutely. And actually, it's kind of funny that you bring that up. You know, when this bill was moved out of the judiciary, one bill was left behind, and that's the Runaway and Homeless Youth Act. And that bill, all it does is fund services for some of the most vulnerable populations. And so as much conversation, as much debate as this bill is getting, what is left behind are things like the Runaway and Homeless Youth Act.
Why do you think lawmakers capitulated on these issues that wouldn't appear to be as controversial as the Hyde Amendment?
You know, it's definitely challenging. I think one of the problems is that, you know, when was the last time you saw an article about trafficking that didn't talk about arrests and prosecutions first and foremost? When we talk about how we're combating trafficking, the numbers that we always take are not how many people are less likely to be trafficked this year. The conversation isn't how long are, you know, victims supported after they escape trafficking situations. The conversations are always about arrests. The conversations are always about prosecution. And so when you see a bill that comes up that says we're going to raise the number of prosecutions of traffickers, that's where the conversation is right now. And that's really unfortunate.
So the cultural shift to focus on victims is not really in this bill, and it remains for the future, a future battle both on Capitol Hill and among policymakers.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I constantly am asking people to do is not to say, you know, is this a bipartisan bill? Is it not? If a bill about victims of trafficking, if the best thing we can say about it is that it's bipartisan, we're not doing our job.
Kate DiAdamo is a national policy advocate for the Sex Workers Project of the Urban Justice Center. She spoke with us from Washington, D.C. Kate, thanks so much.
Thank you.